Hi everyone, my name is Mike, and I'm the Assistant College Pastor here at Symphony. I'm so glad that we can worship together and receive God's Word today. Before we dive into the message, let's take a couple minutes to say hi to someone. You can text a friend or say hi to someone on Zoom, so let's do that for a couple minutes together. So this summer, we're in a sermon series called Everyday Christian People, and the overall questions that we're asking ourselves are, what does it look like to be a Christian today? More specifically, how can we live out our faith as followers of Christ in this COVID season? You may have asked yourself these questions at some point during quarantine, and what I realized is that it was hard enough as is to live out our faith pre-COVID. So how do we do that today? How do we follow Jesus every day? You know, we've been put in a position where we need to be even more intentional in talking about what a life transformed by the gospel looks like and actually living it out. These are questions that I've personally been wrestling with, and our church has been wrestling with them as well, specifically in our family groups. So, you know, here's a small plug for family groups. If you're not part of a small group yet that meets over Zoom, sign up on your connection form, and we'll get you plugged in right away. You're missing out on a big part of the life of Symphony Church. And maybe you are part of one, but you haven't gone in a while. I know this COVID season has been challenging, but I want to encourage you to go this week. Your family group misses you. All right, so, last week we talked about money and how God's grace compels us to give generously and joyfully. Our greatest security is not in riches and wealth, but in Christ alone. And so today I want to continue this conversation on security and talk about our worries. How do we trust God with our worries? How can we feel secure in the midst of our anxieties, our concerns in life? This morning, we're going to read a passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and let's see what Jesus has to say about our worries. For those who are taking notes, the title for today's message is Trusting God with Our Worries. And our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for this community of brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the ability to worship together like this through technology. And we pray that you would continue, God, to stir in our hearts a faith and a trust and a heart of gratitude towards you for the ways that you have cared for us and the ways that you have provided for us. So, Lord, teach us how to trust you with our worries. Teach us how to do that today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so early on in this COVID season, I rewatched The Lion King, the original one, not the remake, and one of my favorite songs from that movie is Hakuna Matata. And that whole song revolves around a philosophy, a lifestyle free of worries and problems. It means no worries for the rest of our days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Yeah, this is a song we all love. We've all sung it. And you may even say that you subscribe to this kind of philosophy. But our lives don't reflect it. Even Simba lived a life filled with problems and worry. He tried to live a life of Hakuna Matata, but when he decided to pursue his calling in life, when he pursued a purpose greater than himself, he found himself overwhelmed with problems and worry. The same is true for us today. Worry is a big part of our lives. I found this research study that was done in 2017 that examined the impact of stress and anxiety on our lifestyles and sleep routines. It showed that millennials spend about 63 full days a year stressed out and worried. That's almost 20% of the year. As many as 71% wake up in the middle of the night thinking about current stressors up to 3 times a week. The average millennial spends 4 hours each day worrying about something. And the average young American spends 2,121 hours a year stressing about finances. We are people consumed by worry. What has been worrying you? I came up with a list of things that might worry us today. It's not an extensive list by any means, but perhaps at least one will resonate with you. You know, will I have enough to eat this week? What is happening this fall semester? Will I have housing? Will the education be the same? Am I even going back to campus or not? What's the point of going on campus if I can't even hang out with people freely? Will my job interview go well? When will I get a job? Is my job secure? Am I going to get a pay cut? How will I pay for the bills? I feel like I've lost touch with all my friends. My long-distance relationship isn't going well. My health issues aren't going away. My family member has been sick for so long. Well, when will he or she get better? Perhaps you're a parent and you're worried about how much longer you can handle your kids and babies being at home 24/7. Perhaps you're the kid and you don't know how much longer you can stay at home with your parents. And maybe you didn't feel anxious until I just read this list of possible worries, which is actually a case in point. You know, we are a people of worry. We are a people of worry. And sometimes these worries can actually be helpful. You know, last year around this time, I drove about 12 college students to a conference in Philadelphia called AMI Revolution. And I drove them in one of our big church vans. We got to this highway in Connecticut with really, really narrow lanes. And, you know, I was a little tired. People were sleeping. And I was worried. I was worried that I might put these students in danger. And that made me more attentive, more alert, so that I can make sure that I get them safely to that conference. You know, worry can be a stimulant for problem solving and taking action, both of which are positive things. But when we become fixated on the problem, constantly worrying, thinking negatively, and always expecting the worst, it takes a toll on your emotional and physical health. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down." You know, typically we start to worry about something and it affects our entire mood. And then we find ourselves down and discouraged and possibly depressed. And not only does worry affect you physically and emotionally, but it also stunts your spiritual growth. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, in the parable of the sowers, Christ describes the seed sown among thorns as someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the worries in our minds and our hearts, and the deceitfulness of the wealth in this world choke the word, making it unfruitful. You know, what this is saying is that you can come to this live stream service every Sunday, listen to the sermon like you are now. You can listen to our daily morning devotionals, but your life will prove to be spiritually fruitless because of your worries. When we are constantly worrying, it hinders our ability to receive God's word and apply it to our lives. And it puts a strain on our relationship with God. It hinders us from encountering God, from experiencing his peace, from finding joy in the Lord. Maybe you've been wondering, why am I having such a difficult time experiencing God this summer in this COVID season? You know, there might be several different reasons why. But perhaps one reason is because of your worries. For these reasons, Jesus says three times, do not be anxious. Don't worry. Don't fret about your life, about your body, and about your future. And in order for us to understand really what Jesus is trying to get at here, we need to know what he says right before this passage. Jesus had just taught about money, and he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We see this emphasis on love and devotion. When you're at the crossroads of life, what do you love more? Who are you devoted to? What are the eyes of your heart focused on? And that is what Jesus is emphasizing in our passage today. He was talking to people, many of whom were poor. And so knowing their hearts as well as their circumstances, Jesus addressed their anxiety about what they will eat, about what they will drink and wear. These were serious concerns that people had at that time, and people still have these same concerns today. And he says, do not be anxious. Now, I do want to make two things clear. First, Jesus is not against responsibility. When he says, don't be anxious, he's not saying, don't do anything. In fact, Paul made this point very clear. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, if anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he uses even stronger words, saying, if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So Jesus is not against responsibility. You can plan and think ahead without being choked by the worries of this life. Second, Jesus is not denying the reality of your needs. He wasn't denying the problems that his followers faced at the time, and he's not denying the immense hardship that you may be enduring today. Instead, Jesus was teaching that we are to put God first in all that we do. Do your part to care for your physical needs, but trust God with your worries. You know, worry in its most basic form is a misplaced trust. For many of us, this COVID season has actually exposed where our faith lies. In the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of confusion and uncertainty, we found ourselves more self-centered than God-centered. Worry means that somewhere along the way, we have placed our trust in something other than God. We have replaced the power of God with self-security. But faith enables us to look past our circumstances and focus on Christ. And when we do this, when we choose to love God, to be devoted to Him, to trust Him, God in turn will honor this priority. So today, I want to wrestle with this question of how can we trust God with our worries? How can we place our faith in God when we're anxious and concerned and afraid? Well, in our passage today, I believe God gives us three things we can focus on. First, we can focus on God's providential care. Jesus gives three examples of God's providential care that leads us to trust Him with our worries. The first example is how God provides for even the birds of the sky. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Part of trusting in God's providential care is understanding how much He values us. You know, we are of great value to God, not in a practical or functional sense, but in a relational way. And this goes back to our first couple messages in this series where we talked about identity. Jesus reminds believers then and today of our inherent worth and value and dignity because our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, He has created us in His image. And not only has He created us in His image, but through faith in Christ, He has made us a new creation. He has reconciled us to God, and He has adopted us as sons and daughters of God. He calls you beloved. Do you know that you are of great value to God? Do you know that you are loved by Him, that you are precious in His sight? So often our worries are rooted in what other people think of us, in how our relationships, our jobs, our careers, social media, how all these things define our value and our worth. And when we define human worth and value in worldly terms, and what we can do and how well we can do it, and what we can say and how well we can say it, we forget how God sees us. God's heart for us is the very reason why we can trust in God's providential care. That's why he said to his disciples, "Do not be anxious about food. Look at the birds. They're not created in God's image. They're not sons and daughters of God in Christ. They're not co-heirs with Christ. And it's not even the birds' father that feeds them. Jesus says that our heavenly Father feeds them and cares for them. If he does that for these ravens, these birds, how much more would our heavenly Father care for us?" Not only did he address worries about food, but he also said, "Don't be anxious about what you will wear." And this is where we see the second and third examples of God's providential care. It says in verses 28 to 29, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." You know, I'm not really into flowers, but I enjoy seeing them from time to time. Several years ago, a few of my friends and I drove down from Dallas to Austin, Texas, and on the way down, we came across a gigantic, beautiful field of sunflowers. This is a photo I took from Google, but it really did look like this. You know, we pulled over to the side and ended up doing a 15-minute photo shoot, and I have to say, it was crazy to see so many sunflowers in one place. It was really beautiful. I also have these hydrangeas. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I also have these hydrangeas right outside my house in Medford. You know, I don't water it. I didn't even plant it, but they bloom every spring so beautifully. I share about these things because God cares for these things. He cares for even grass. In our passage, God dresses the fields with beauty. Flowers are not there for their own beauty. They are there to clothe the grass of the fields. Green is pretty, but a lot of green could get boring. And so our creative God decorates it with color. And our passage says that these flowers were more beautiful, more filled with glory, more color than Solomon's clothing. Solomon was a king of Israel, but nowhere in the Old Testament does it specifically mention Solomon's clothing. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, Solomon is presented as by far the wealthiest king of Israel, and the queen of Sheba hears of his fame and visits him to test him. But when she arrives, verse 5 of that chapter says that there was no more breath in her. She was at a loss for words. She was amazed by King Solomon's glory, and we can imagine just how ornate his clothing was. And yet Jesus says that God cares for even grass, so much so that he adorns it and dresses it with lilies. Their clothes are better than that of Solomon. That's why Jesus says in verse 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, if he cares for even this and makes the lilies grow to become beautiful, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I know someone who is so impacted by this very passage, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and he would always write something in his emails. You know, in the signature portion, people might say sincerely or best wishes, or sometimes Christians would say in Christ or God bless. This guy would write, consider the ravens and the lilies. You know, when I first heard that, I cracked up so much. But isn't it such a great reminder of God's providential care in our lives? This week, I want to encourage you to take a walk. Consider how God cares for his creation. Look at the sky. Look at the birds. Go to the arboretum and look at the flowers and the trees. And out of all the things he's created, he cares for us most. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says that we can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. the God who created us, the God who has even numbered the hairs on our head, the God who knows our thoughts and our worries, our concerns, our anxieties, this God loves us so much more than the ravens in the sky and the lilies of the field. How much more will he care for us and adorn us with holiness and beauty? Verses 32 to 33 say that our Heavenly Father knows what you need. Isn't that so encouraging? And not only does he say, you know, he'll give you, he knows what you need, he knows what you need most. And not only does he say that he knows what you need most, he says that he'll give you what you need. He'll give you what he knows is best for you. And what I found so convicting from these two verses is that even the Gentiles seek after these things. You see, Jesus was talking to his disciples, people who took pride in being God's people, people who had encountered the living God. But Jesus gently rebukes them and says, "What makes you any different if you seek the same things that the Gentiles are seeking?" I think what Jesus is saying is don't be like these unbelievers. If you proclaim to be a follower of Christ, you have tasted and seen the goodness of God. You have seen how he provides for you. Don't be choked by the worries of this life, but instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that brings me to the second way we can trust God with our worries. Focus on God's eternal kingdom, not on temporary things of this world. You know, God's kingdom is where our God dwells. And the kingdom is everlasting. It's eternal because our God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and the things that pertain to the kingdom of God are eternal. And in our passage, Jesus is directing our eyes to focus on the eternal matters of God's kingdom. That's why he asks the question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We so often make all of life about our relationships, our career, our education, money, sex, power. And here's the dilemma. We've allowed these things to become the treasures of our hearts. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This was his warning to those who have been consumed by the cares of this world, who worry about money, their career, what they look like, their future. But Jesus knows, he knows that we who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, we who have been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, that we have an eternal life in the eternal kingdom of God. I think that's why Jesus makes a point about the temporary nature of grass. Verse 30 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You know, back then, it was common to grab nearby grass and flowers and use them for fuel to heat up their clay ovens. And so I think Jesus' point is that if God provides for the grass, even though its lifespan is short, how much more will he provide for you, his beloved children, who have eternal life with him? And so as people who have received the gift of eternal life in Christ, we're called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this might be a little confusing. You know, what is the kingdom and what is righteousness? Well, I love how this New Testament scholar R.T. France puts it. He says, "To give priority to God's kingdom means to give our first allegiance to him as king. Righteousness is the way of life which results from this decision." So in other words, seeking God's kingdom is allowing God to reign in your heart as king, and that will naturally overflow into a righteous way of living. And there are two things that come to mind when we're seeking God's kingdom. First, part of seeking the kingdom of God is that you want to receive it. In order to see the kingdom of God unfold on earth as it is in heaven, the first step is to receive Jesus in your heart, to declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and your King. And if today you have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, If you've been so worried and anxious, but you want a security that is everlasting, that will never fade, you can do so today. You can say to Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be filled with your peace. I don't want to feel anxious or worried anymore. I want to believe that you care for me and that you love me. I allow you to be the king of my heart. If that's you, praise the Lord. You know, I'm so thankful to God if this is the case for you. And, you know, please let us know on your connection form. And we'd love to start this faith journey with you. And so that's the first response to seeking the kingdom of God. We need to receive it. We need to receive Jesus. But we're also called to righteousness, like becoming holy, cultivating the city of Boston, bringing the peace of God into our neighborhoods, seeing others saved, growing and building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You know, our sense of security and peace in Christ is realized through the work of the kingdom and pursuing his righteousness. And when we focus on earthly matters like riches and basic needs, it will, of course, produce worry and anxiety. But when we're more focused on the kingdom of God, we become less focused on the worries of this world. It reminds us that we're not in control. It reminds us that our worries are covered by the grace and providence of God. It reminds us that we're living for something more than just this life. Focusing on the eternal kingdom of God delivers us from those worries and brings God's peace. All right, so we can trust God with our worries by focusing on God's providential care, focusing on God's eternal kingdom, and third, focusing on God's grace for today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, Jesus admits that there will be trouble tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And even though God promises necessary provision, he doesn't promise freedom from trouble. And so we're faced with one reality, that sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But as believers, we believe in another reality, another truth. Sufficient is God's grace for each day. In last week's family group, we did an activity where we rated how we feel like God has provided for us in specific areas of our lives, such as food, clothing, housing, safety, relationships, healthcare, transportation, education, and recreation. And there were four rating categories: lacking, adequate, abundant, and luxurious. As we were doing this exercise in my family group, the majority of the people circled abundant and luxurious for every area of life. We were seeing how faithful and gracious and good our God has been to us. I think the reality is that many of us at Symphony Church have been so blessed with the material possessions that we've received from God. And this is a reminder for us that we can trust in his grace for today because he is faithful. He is good. But what if you haven't received abundantly and luxuriously? What if you are lacking in something and in need? I know it's difficult to admit these things and to share with other people, but if this is you, I want to encourage you to allow the church, allow brothers and sisters in Christ at Symphony Church to walk with you and support you in any way that we can. Share with your family group members. Share with me and the other pastors. You know, we want to take care of each other. You know, if you are in need of food or housing support or other areas of financial need, let us know, and we have a benevolence team with a benevolence fund that is ready to meet your needs. Sometimes God's grace unfolds through the unity and the support of the church. And in all times, in all seasons, God's grace unfolds through prayer. I want to share a passage in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. And the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything. In confusion and uncertainty of the future, fear of what's going to happen in the midst of COVID, in both abundance and in need," he says, "don't be anxious." Why? The end of verse 5 says that it's because the Lord is at hand. He is moving. He is at work in your life. He is with you. And so in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we feel anxious, when we're worried, when we feel like there's just a million balls bouncing off the walls of our head, you know, we can pray and ask God for his grace and his peace. And a few verses later in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Like Paul, I believe that it's God's daily grace that strengthens us. You know, he gives us the strength each day to wake up, especially on Mondays. You know, think about this truth. When you wake up tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, he gives us the strength to get up each day. He gives us the strength to do everything that we need to do today. And when the night has come, we can give thanks to God for his grace that strengthens us. Rick Warren says that worry is unreasonable. To worry about something you can change is foolish. To worry about something you can't change is useless. Either way, it's unreasonable to worry. But what we can do is trust in God's providential care. We can trust in God's eternal kingdom. And we can trust in God's grace for today. Tomorrow will have its own problems. Worrying today won't change tomorrow. So we can push the pause button on life. Literally, take a 5-minute or 10-minute break from work, from your studies, your family, and cast your anxieties onto God because he cares for you. Last Monday at Monday Night Prayer, we sang a song called He Knows My Name. You know, this was, as we were singing this, I just felt so convicted of how much God cares for us. And I want to share it with you guys. And I want to ask that if you know it, sing with me so it's not too awkward. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. You know, we have a Father in heaven who loves us so much. He knows what you need. He knows your every thought. He knows your worries. And as I was singing this song on Monday Night Prayer, as I was thinking about the lyrics, I was reminded that he even sees our sins. Yet even in our sinfulness, he still met our greatest need. He has given his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross on our behalf so that we might be saved and have eternal life with him. If God has provided for our greatest spiritual need with his only Son, Jesus Christ, how can we not trust him with our earthly needs? And so today, I want to invite us to trust God with our worries. To trust him with your anxieties. What is causing your heart to be weighed down? What is causing your emotions to be discouraged? Let's trust God with our worries today, and let's call upon him who cares for us, who has given us his eternal kingdom, and who pours out his grace upon us each day. Let's pray together.